We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It's a concept that John brings up called walking in the light or walking in darkness. And I've been spending quite a bit of time on this, meditating on what it actually looks like to walk in the light. And what I want to say to you this morning is, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling trapped and you're not quite sure what's going on and what's giving you this feeling, what I want to share with you in love is, it may be that you're walking in darkness. And I'm going to try to unpack that today so that you can evaluate whether that's the case. Because if you are, this could be the most encouraging sermon for your life, because the greatest problem of walking in the darkness is you don't know what you don't know. Does that make sense? You have a problem that you there's something you need to know to change, but you don't know what that is you need to know. And we're going to talk today a little bit about light and darkness and how that can actually make a huge difference in your life. First of all, why do we need the light? There's a couple of reasons. Number one, to be honest, is that we are surrounded by darkness. I'd like to read you from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 23. You might just jot that reference down. I'm going to be throwing a lot of references at you, and I'd love for you to just write them down, and we'll tell you what to do with them at the end of the message. Isaiah says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Boy, does that sound like the U.S., by the way? My goodness, this reads like an internet website put out today. "Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." People living in China and then coming back to the U.S., it has just blown me away how dark our country is right now. We are surrounded by darkness. And as you study light and darkness in the scripture, one of the things you realize is darkness hates the light. And darkness will do everything it can to overwhelm the light and actually squash the light. And our call as Christians, and this is why this is so important, our call is not to curse the darkness. Our call is to turn on the light. And right now, you and I desperately need to be shining the light of Jesus Christ to people that God brings into our lives, because that's how we're really going to be able to make a difference in our lives. There's another reason we need the light. Proverbs 4:18 and 19 says this, "The way of the righteous is like the light of the dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day." Now, verse 19 is what I want you to look at. "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." You guys, there's a sadness to darkness because people are lost, people are confused, and they don't know what the problem is. I've talked to dads who are trying to raise their daughters, and they have a sense that just letting them go out with guys and do whatever they want, they have a sense that that's not right. But because they have nothing to build their lives on, they don't know how to teach their daughters how to be godly young women. Amen. They don't know how to teach their sons how to be godly young men. And so the society is just moving, every generation is moving further and further and further into the darkness. It's messing up people's marriages. It's messing up people's relationships. It's messing up people's finances. The darkness is hurting every arena of life. But what's really important is to realize that we ourselves, even as Christians, can be affected by the darkness. Colossians 1:13 says that God has saved us out of darkness, out of the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. But you know what? We can actually choose as Christians for temporary periods of time to walk in darkness. Amen. And if we do that, we're going away from the very thing that God has saved us from. So I need you to, let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is where we're going to spend most of our time. Here's what John says. This is the message we have to you, that we have heard from him and announced to you, God is light. Not God has light, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So the declaration is that God is light. What does this mean? God's light indicates that he is a being of perfection and holiness. There's no impurity of God. There's no mixture of any darkness that comes into the being of God. There's something else about God being light. It's God's nature to reveal the true nature and character of everything that comes into his light. Let me illustrate this. One of the frustrating things with me, I'm kind of a sloppy eater. And I'll go to a nice restaurant, and you know how the lights are dim, and it's nice and dark, and everything's fine, and I'm eating and having a great meal. And then I go outside into the light, and I realize I spilled gravy on my shirt. And it's so frustrating. I didn't know about the gravy. Why? Because I was in a dark room. But when I come out into the light reveals the reality of what's going on. Now, in a way, that's a terrible thing. I wish I could have stayed in the dark room, but the light shows me, hey, I need to change my shirt. I need to change something. And the only way I can see that I need to change it is to be in the light. Well, God, when he shines on you, one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to become very aware of your own sin. Now, I want to give you a little cue to know if you're in the light or not. When you're in darkness, your focus is always on other people's sin. When you're in the light, your focus is on your own sin. Now, again, you might be saying, hey, I think I like the darkness. I like pointing out everybody else's faults. But the problem is, when your focus is on what everybody else does wrong, you don't know what needs to change in your own life. And so you're not in a place where you can move forward in your relationship with God. So God's nature reveals the true character of everything. Now, here's the third thing. God's nature as light is also to bring clarity to your life. You know what's so cool? I've raised three kids. I now have 10 grandkids. Pretty cool. By the way, I'm way too young to be a grandfather. And so the grandkids cannot call me grandfather. You won't believe this, but they all call me dude. So that's... It's really fun. I mean, if you're wondering, my mind is a little mush. I've had 7 of the 10 grandkids for the last 10 days. And I got to tell you, there's not much left up here after that. We went to the fair, the Ventura County Fair. We went to the Natural History Museum. We actually got them all red t-shirts, called it Camp Larson. And we had a ball with them. But I've learned what many grandparents say. They say, it's fun when your grandkids come, and then it's fun when they leave, you see. So it's kind of nice. That's the one advantage of being a grandparent over a parent. But all of that to say that in raising my kids, I had clarity as to what I wanted to build into their lives because of God's word. I knew what kind of character I wanted them to develop as young people. I knew what kind of a moral compass I wanted them to have in their lives. I knew how to teach them right from wrong, not because I'm smarter than anyone else, because I'm not, but because I was standing on the Word of God. I was building my life and my family on the Word of God. You guys just have no idea how important that is, that we have the clarity of God's Word to speak about life. So that's the nature of God as light. And now he goes into verse 6, and he talks about the danger of walking in darkness. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. First, let's talk about fellowship with God. It's much more than coffee and donuts after church. Fellowship, in the original language, koinonia, actually means partnership. In other words, when you say you have fellowship with God, what you're saying is God and I are partners as we live the life together. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. We are in a partnership with God. Amos 3:3 says that how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so one thing about fellowship that it implies is that you're on the same page and you're moving in the same direction. Does that make sense? Okay, so God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If I am saying that I am on the same page with God and walking in the same direction with him, and then at the same time, the reality is that I'm walking in darkness, something's wrong. Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So I can't be saying I have fellowship with God and walk in darkness at the same time. Does that make sense? All right. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness? Three things. First, walking in darkness is allowing the darkness of this world to influence your thoughts, your values, and your behavior. You guys, we don't need to go to Dr. Phil or Oprah or Jerry Springer for the advice of our world, for the advice of our lives. And yet I'm amazed how many Christians are running to people of this world to try to get counsel. Do you realize if you're going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist who is not a believer, what are you doing? You are walking according to the counsel of this world. And that is the fundamental definition of walking in darkness. Two scriptures that I want you to write down, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Just write that down because we're going to look it up, have you look it up later. And then, just to understand, Psalm 1, the blessed person is the one who does not walk after the counsel of the ungodly. Instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, let's go to the second part of what it means to walk in darkness. It is refusing to allow the light of God's word to reveal the truth of your life. So many people, when they listen to a sermon, what's running through their mind is, oh, I hope so-and-so's getting this. I need to get a copy of this for so-and-so because they really need to hear this. Rather than, God, what is it that you want to speak to me out of your word? One of the fun things that Connie and I are doing now is we're doing these two-day marriage workshops. We're doing them all over the nation and actually all over the world right now when we're not in China. And it's really interesting to, yesterday we were doing this and a couple, one of the questions I asked is, what sin do you commit when you get into an argument with your spouse? And the husband immediately began sharing his wife's sin. And I said, time out. Let's go through the question again. And our knee-jerk reaction is to focus on what other people do wrong rather than focusing on the stuff that we're doing. And you know what you call a person who focuses on what other people do wrong? A victim. Why do I say that? When your focus is not on what you do wrong, you have no power to change your situation. But when you allow the light of God's word to shine in your life, you have a chance to make a difference because you can change your situation by changing what's going on inside of you. It becomes very empowering. Now, before we jump ahead, I want to share with you Hebrews 4:12. The writer says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow." Now listen, "and the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." A great problem that Christians have is we lie to ourselves, we lie to each other, and we lie to God. Why do we do that? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked." So when you watch a Disney movie and they're singing the glorious song, "Follow Your Heart," you know, that's the worst advice you can give anybody. Amen. Don't follow your heart, because Jeremiah says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Follow God. Don't follow your heart. Does that make sense? And so what we do is we get into this pattern where we don't want God shining on our heart, because it shows us where we need to change. And for us in darkness, that's not very comfortable. The third characteristic of walking in darkness is refusing to allow God's Spirit to examine your heart. Jeremiah 17 says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, write down Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Because there, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." I love this next phrase. "Try me and know my anxious thoughts." Do you know the top two problems in America? Depression, anxiety. What's the world's answer? Medication. Take a pill. Do you know why America believes that? America believes that because America has come to believe that we have no soul. That everything that goes on inside of you is chemical or hormonal or electrical. And so if something's wrong in your emotions, that means there's something wrong in your physical brain. David's response is, "No, God, I need you to search me and know my heart. I need you to try me." In other words, put me to the test and know my anxious thoughts. The next phrase of 24, "See if there be any hurtful way in me." Do you realize what David's doing? He's opening himself up to the Spirit of God. And he's saying, "God, I need you to reveal me to me." Okay, this is the prayer that will lead you towards walking in the light. And I want you to know, I pray this prayer almost every day because I want God to help me understand me. And then the final little phrase, "and lead me in the everlasting way." So walking in the darkness is letting the world influence you. Walking in the darkness is refusing to allow the Word of God to speak to you. Walking in the darkness is refusing to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. And finally, 1 John 2:11, walking in the darkness is living a loveless life. 1 John 2:11 says this, "The one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, you and I might be feeling pretty comfortable. "Hey, I don't hate anybody." Okay, we need to talk about love and hate. Neither of those are emotions. Okay? Neither love nor hate is an emotion, Both of those are choices. Love is the choice to put the needs of others before yourself, right? Philippians 2:4, do not look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Hate, on the other hand, is simply the choice to put yourself before other people. Not walking around town going, poo, poo, I hate that guy, you know. That's not hatred. It's simply living a self-centered life. I'm going to give you a little true confession here. As I said, we had our grandkids for a week and a half at our house. And when Connie agreed to this, I have to admit, I had a pretty bad attitude. In fact, I actually initially said to her, I said, you know what? You made the decision, so you take care of them. I'm going to go play golf. Okay, so that was my initial very dark response to this whole situation. Fortunately, the Spirit of God began speaking to me. And the conversation went something like this. You say you love your wife. Well, of course I love my wife. But wait a minute. What is love? Love is putting the needs of others before your own. Ow! I hated this conversation. Actually, I loved it, but it was a difficult conversation. And the Holy Spirit began to convince me and convict me of this fact. If you love your wife, you will set aside your desires and demonstrate your love for her by loving your grandchildren and taking a team approach rather than letting her do it on her own. And so every day while the kids were there, I got up in the morning and the first thing I prayed is, God, help me to love my wife by loving my grandkids. And you know what? He did. And I can tell you two things. Number one, if I had been selfish, I would have felt guilty the whole time. I would not have enjoyed my week of golfing and being selfish and doing everything I wanted to do, because I would have known that God had something better for me. At the end of this, Connie didn't know that I went through all of this. She didn't know what I was praying and things like that. But at the end of the time, she actually had tears in her eyes, and she said, I was blown away by how much you were willing to be a part of this whole thing. In fact, we were actually partners in working through this. And I shared with her, you know, what I had prayed and the process I go through. And it was a really wonderful time of enjoying each other and enjoying our kids. And what happened, God actually changed my heart. I totally enjoyed the time of being with the kids. I'm still glad they left, but I enjoyed the time of being with them. You guys, here's the point. When you walk in the light and let God speak to the sinful attitudes of your heart, the result is going to be joy. The result is going to be joy. He won't always lead you to do the easy thing. In fact, more often than not, I find God leads me to do the difficult thing, but he gives me the power to do it. Now, let's jump forward to the idea of walking in the... We got to do one other thing. Revelation 3, 14 through 20. Everybody turn there, okay? Last book of the Bible, real easy to find. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. This is the famous letter to the lukewarm church. I want to jump in and start reading at about verse 15, okay? Here's Jesus speaking. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, I'm a lot like Jesus. I do not like things lukewarm. Like when I go to Starbucks and get coffee, I want it hot. Okay. In fact, and sometimes when they forget to securely put the little container into the electrical element, the coffee gets cool. And I mean, I know what Jesus feels like. When I drink lukewarm coffee, I want to spew it out of my mouth right away. And this is how Jesus feels about lukewarm Christians. He says, lukewarm Christians make me sick. Can't stand the taste of it. Now, verse 17, has the definition of a lukewarm Christian. Because you say, he's explaining to them why they're lukewarm. You're lukewarm because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now people, God, get this. This is really important. What is the definition of a lukewarm Christian? A lukewarm Christian is someone who is self-sufficient. See, because you say, I don't need anything. And I see so many Christians like that. How are you doing? Oh, fine. But your marriage isn't very well. Well, it's my wife's fault. But I'm fine. They are self-sufficient and they are self-satisfied. But their biggest problem is they are self-deceived. Now, look at that again. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. That's what they think of themselves. But the reality is that they are poor and miserable, or they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. A lukewarm Christian is someone who is self-satisfied and self-deceived. And as long as they're in that state of darkness, they have no way of getting out of that. The only way of getting out of darkness, folks, is to come to the light. And here's what I want you to understand. Some of you may be feeling stuck today. You may feel like you're stuck in a bad marriage. You may feel like you're stuck in a bad job. You may feel like you're stuck in a difficult circumstance. The answer is not to change your circumstances. The answer is to come to the light. And when you come to the light, God is going to help you get unstuck. All right. Let's go on to what it means to walk in the light. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So what does it mean to walk in the light? If walking in darkness is refusing to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to speak in your life, walking in the light is opening your life to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Okay, now let's make this practical. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now, that word save is very cool. Sozo in the Greek language is much bigger than our word save. Because when Jesus talks about healing people in the Gospels, it's the word sozo. So sozo can mean save, and it can also mean heal. Now let's put that in here. Receive the word implanted, which is able to heal your souls. You guys, when you come to the word and you let the word speak to you, you are going to experience the kind of soul healing that only God can bring. How do you do that? Let's take today as an example. Giving you a lot of scriptures. Maybe a lousy sermon, but at least the scriptures are good, right? All right. So I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. What do you do with that? Well, you can go home, turn on the TV, get lunch, and forget you ever heard it. And honestly, you might as well have not even been here. Does that make sense? That's walking in darkness. That's saying, okay, I heard it. By word, I'm going home, and off you go with your life. And so you're refusing by that to allow God's word to shine on your life. Alternative. Sometime today, take a half hour and go through the scriptures with the prayer, God, what do you want to reveal about me through these scriptures? You guys, you do that, and the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God, and He will speak to you, and He will show you how He wants you to change. And when you respond to that and actually begin to work on the changes that He wants to bring to you, your wisdom will grow, your light will grow, and your joy will grow. Because if we walk in the light as He is in the light, one, just jumping off of verse 6, we have fellowship with God. So your experience of God's love is going to grow when you walk in the light. Not only will you have fellowship with God, but you will have genuine fellowship with other believers who are also walking in the light. You will grow in your relationship with them. And it's not that hard. It's just a matter of learning to open your life to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. What else will happen? I love the end of verse 7. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. This is so cool. Walking in the light is not living a sinless life. Boy, thank God for that. I'd never be in the light. Here's what happens. The more you get closer and closer to Jesus, the more you're going to see your own sin. And that's why I say people in darkness focus on other people's sin. People in the light focus on their own sin. Oh, my mom, she's so weird. She's so tight. She never listens to me. Okay, that's a kid in darkness. The kid in the light says, man, I need to look into my own life, and I need to see where I need to change as a part of this family. Parents, my kids, they never listen. They're always doing the wrong thing, blah, 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 blah. And all of these kind of, a mom or a dad who's walking in the light is looking inward. They're seeing their own sin and they're learning how to change. And you know what? People who look that way have much greater influence on those around them. So the way to become a better mom, the way to become a better dad is to learn to walk in the light. The way to become a better husband or wife is to learn to walk in the light. The way to become a better student or a better employee or employer is to learn to walk in the light. You let God speak into your life, you see the things you need to change, and you gain greater clarity towards life. Let me just give you a couple of other blessings. Psalm 27:1. Walking in the light brings courage. The Lord is the light of my life. Whom shall I fear? Have you ever heard that old phrase, God plus one is majority? I love that one. When your focus is on God with you, you have incredible courage. Psalm 43:3, walking in the light brings clarity. James 5:16, walking in the light means you have nothing to hide. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That healed there, by the way, is sozo, that you may be saved, that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. One of the things that people who walk in the light begin to do is they start confessing their own failures to other people. And you think, if I do that, people won't respect me as much, but what you'll discover is the exact opposite. When you're open about your own sin, people learn to respect and actually want to listen to you because you're one of those rare people that has an honest perspective of themselves. So how do we do this? One of the first things I would encourage you to do, if you have not been intentionally and consciously opening your life to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I want you to come understand that you have probably been walking in darkness. See, it doesn't mean you've been doing horrible, terrible sins. It just means that you haven't been walking in the light where God is. And so the first thing you do is confess that sin. Second thing you do, every time you hear God's word spoken, take time to let God speak into your life, not here at church, but when you get home. Let him speak into your life. Let him show you the things that he wants to change in you, and you'll begin to have direction. Same thing in your personal times with God. Let God speak to you. And when he speaks, listen. And when you listen, change so that you're doing what God has called you to do. So much is going to happen when you start doing this. And my prayer for you, very simply, is that this message is going to stir you to make a little bit of a shift in how you respond to God's word. Rather than ignoring it or judging it, oh, that was a good sermon, that was a crummy sermon, liked it, hated it, all of that. Rather than doing that, you let God's word judge you. And it will lead you towards a wholeness in your life that will expand the influence that you have in the lives of people around you. So, Father, I just pray that you'd excite us about becoming a people who are walking in the light. Lord, that we have that humility and the love that you want us to have with each other. And God, I just pray that you would move us as people towards an openness with you, an openness with each other, that we would quit lying to ourselves. We would quit lying to each other, and we'd quit lying to you. So make us a people of the light. In Jesus' name, amen.